During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
That's a little weekend flow. Just trying to get something to snack on real quick during the break because I didn't eat breakfast this morning. I'm bad on weekends about doing that because usually I'm up and running around doing a million things. Probably not a good idea to be throwing back Cheez-Its at 10 o'clock in the morning. But you got to do what you got to do. I got to be smarter about packing something to eat. I got to be smarter about that.
There is Danny Klinksdale's Coke from yesterday, if you want that.
What's left of it? Well, thanks, Danny. Leaving it in here. Good stuff. I guess I'll clean that up. You know what? Since I work mostly weekends, I'm going to be filling in for Seren on Tuesday, by the way. But I try to make the place neat before I leave, so when Steven and Nate and Jake get here on Monday morning, they don't have to deal with anything. I know there's some other weekend shows that like to leave some coffee cups sitting around. Old coffee cups. No names, Midwest Outdoors guys. No, they're good guys. I like those guys. Just once in a while, just a couple of coffee cups. Got to clean that up. I don't want to have those guys Monday morning having to do it. This is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. You can listen worldwide on the app by going to 810WHB.com. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. We just wrapped up with Nick Jacobs from 41 Action News and co-host of the podcast 4th and 1, which, Joshua, it just dawned on you what that means, right? The 4th and 1.
Yeah, 41, yes. Action News, 4th and 1, just finally
just
clicked.
Kinda hit you?
Finally clicked.
It does. That's the way it goes. We're going to talk a little more Chiefs and college football later in the show. Right now, we want to talk some Royals baseball with our friend David Leske from Baseball Prospectus and Royals Review. David, how are you on this Sunday morning?
I'm really good. I'm upset with you, though.
What happened?
I think Cheez-Its are a wonderful breakfast.
So, there you go. Well, I mean, when you're in a pinch and you're at the studio and you've neglected to bring something decent to eat, Cheez-Its are not indecent. I love Cheez-Its, but...
They provide pretty much everything you need. And little tip, crumble them over an omelet. Just saying.
Wow! I haven't thought about that. I like that. Okay, now you got to give me a quick ranking here since we're going down the path. I like the standard Cheez-Its. I also really like the new Toasty Cheez-Its.
Yeah, those are delicious. I just had those for the first time last week. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Well, finally somebody at the Cheez-It company, what is it, Sunshine, somebody finally got the message because I've been saying for years, like, you occasionally find the little toasted ones that are over-toasted. Like, God, these are good. Why can't I get more of these? And finally they sell you a whole box of the toasted ones.
I think it might be your letters that caused that.
Yeah,
so, thank you.
Probably. But, you know, you got the regulars, you got the toasty ones. I like the ones with the alphabet stamped on them, too.
Sure. Yeah.
But what about there's a lot of people that like the white cheddar, but you got some preferences there?
Honestly, I'm just a Cheez-It guy. Yeah. I'll eat pretty much all of them. I have a problem.
Set down a box of Cheez-Its of any flavor, and David Leske is good to go.
I'm all set.
I wonder if you could crumple Cheez-Its over your mashed potatoes at Thanksgiving or something.
I would say yes, absolutely. Put them in a food processor. Get them blended up nice and fine. Yeah, make it like breadcrumbs.
There you go. I think we're on to something, David. We should set up our own Butterball helpline. We'll give you ideas on how to incorporate Cheez-Its incorporate Cheez-Its into your Thanksgiving dinner.
I'm all about it.
All right. Well, we do have Royals news. It was kind of a weird week because it was Chiefs bye week, and you're getting ready for, you know, Raider week next week. You got Thanksgiving coming up. And then, you know, Major League Baseball, the owners' meetings approved the sale of the team from David Glass to John Sherman and his partners. Now, I think the actual transaction goes down this week, and they're going to have a press conference Tuesday. So I don't know if John Sherman, Venmo's David Glass $1 billion or how that works. But
PayPal, I believe. But yeah.
Yeah, PayPal. So there was no question about this sale as opposed to the last one, which was kind of a circus. I had covered the team during the era when the board of directors ran the team with Mike Herman and Herc Robinson, and I think those are all good people, but there was not an owner, and so it was very unstable. And then the transition before David Glass actually bought the team turned into a circus when Miles Prentice rode into town. The Boston lawyer who had failed in bids, I think he tried to buy the Cubs and he tried to buy something else. And he's, you know, he was a big, bold personality, but Major League Baseball did not like him. They were never going to let him have a team. So I was like, what are we doing? Then we had, you know, Tom Watson and George Brett were involved with ownership groups. And it was kind of like, what is going on here? And then finally David Glass said, all right, for, you know, $93 million, whatever it was, I'll buy the team and then we'll figure out what to do from there. And so this one was a lot quicker and a lot cleaner because during the summer, all of a sudden it came out one day, by the way, David Glass is selling the team and we already have the new owner in place, John Sherman. There's going to be no messing around this time.
Yeah, it was really weird because typically I don't follow team sales that often, so maybe I'm wrong here, but I feel like you typically hear, okay, the team is up for sale. Here's the people who are bidding and potential buyers and all that. And then, you know, the answer comes who it is. And you're right, with this, it was just the team is not up for sale, actually. The team has already been sold. The agreement's been made. We know who it is. It's the perfect person for Kansas City and all that. So, yeah, it was a really interesting process. And, you know, I think that most of the time when you get down that far down the road, you know it's just a matter of time before the owners sign off on that and they vote the guy in and all that. And so that part was pretty normal. But, yeah, it was an odd process. I think we talked maybe the weekend after it happened, after it broke, and it was it was just kind of shocking to everybody. But then also at the same time, it was one of those things that you thought, well, I guess that makes sense. I'm not surprised he's selling the team, but it also didn't. It wasn't on anybody's radar at this moment. So there was a lot of wait, hold up a second in that news, but it came quickly and it's been really smooth, which is exactly what you want. I think that everything has gone about as perfectly as possible in this situation.
Of course, it helped laying the groundwork that John Sherman, by the way, he's lived in Kansas City for over 40 years. His kids go to school here. This is his home. But it kind of helped that he was part of the Cleveland ownership group for the last 3 years. So Major League Baseball was familiar with him. The main owner in Cleveland, is it Dolan? Paul Dolan?
Yep.
So he got to kind of see how the wheels work in Major League Baseball behind the scenes and what ownership does and how you manage day-to-day things. So that,
well, and he'd already been vetted, too, which was helpful.
Yes. He didn't have to prove himself. Because Major League Baseball, it's funny, over the years, the people they turn away, like they didn't want Miles Prentice because he was kind of a goofball and his group was just kind of all over the place. And nobody really knew who was, you knew some of the big names, but it was just too many people. And I know Mark Cuban at one time wanted to buy the Chicago Cubs years ago. They're not going to.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
They were never going to let him in. They don't want him sitting in the front row screaming at umpires like he does at Dallas Mavericks games. They just don't want that. So John Sherman's the kind of guy that fits Major League Baseball. He's not bombastic. He's not, you know, running in front of the cameras every 5 minutes like George Steinbrenner used to. Those guys are not in Major League Baseball anymore. In fact, maybe you can think back, David. I was trying to kick it around in my head last night. Can you think of an owner in Major League Baseball currently that's just out there that you know is going to talk all the time and say anything even remotely off the wall? I can't think of one.
I mean, Arde Moreno is
that's
is
the
out
one
there.
I could think of. Yeah, but,
yeah, but
he's not crazy though.
It's not bad. It's
no,
just, he's vocal and that's okay. I think who else might be, and I don't know.
Idiot who used to own the Marlins, what was it?
Right,
the Loria.
Yeah.
Yeah, since he left, Major League Baseball is just not gonna. They're not gonna have guys like that anymore.
Well, I mean, and you know, Jeter is kind of front and center because he's Derek Jeter.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I can't really think of anybody who's in that Marge shot, George Steinbrenner. You know, the owners aren't the stars.
No anymore. Charlie Finleys.
Yeah, and I mean, not that they were always – they were really the stars before, but there's no owner that is bigger than the team, I feel like, anymore,
right,
which is interesting. It's probably a good thing, actually.
Right, absolutely. We're speaking with David Leske, covers the Royals for Baseball Prospectus and Royals Review. You can follow him on Twitter, at DB Leske. That's DBLESKY. So there's a couple of big questions now that John Sherman is going to be the owner of the Kansas City Royals. So the two big things are, who's in his group, because he does have partners – And what is he going to do in terms of payroll? From a fan perspective, those are the things that matter to me. And maybe John Sherman will enlighten us more Tuesday at his press conference as to who's in his group. But I haven't heard any names leaked out anywhere.
No, it's been pretty quiet. It kind of sounds like it's not a big group, which I think Major League Baseball prefers.
Yes.
So I've heard, you know, 6 to 8 to 10, maybe, people, which is really a pretty normal number. In, you know, most people don't have $1 billion to spend, and so they need to have partners, and that's okay. You know, I think that they're, you know, they have they have to find a lot of ways to find that money.
Right.
It's a lot of money. Even people who are worth X number of $1 billion don't always have that liquid and are able to just, you know, throw it out there and spend on a baseball team on a Tuesday. But, yeah, I don't think it's a big group. Like you said, I think we'll find out a lot about – maybe we'll find out about his strategies payroll-wise. It sounds like this season's not going to be a huge change, which has really upset some people. And I don't want to insult those people, but come on, use your brain. It's okay.
Right.
I mean, they don't need to spend $140 million. He didn't need to come in and make a big splash that's not going to make sense for a team. I also think he's still evaluating the whole organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were reports not long after the sale became public that he was going to give Dayton Moore a long-term extension and all that, and he still might. But I mean, I don't think that anything's been decided yet, and I don't know that he necessarily wants to outlaid, you know, $200 million or whatever it is for however many free agents people want his team to sign on a guy he may not keep.
Right.
It seems silly, and this is kind of the perfect time for a new owner to come into the organization because they're in a spot in a rebuild where they don't need to spend money. There's absolutely no need for the Royals to come out and say, we're going to go out after Gerrit Cole. I wouldn't. I mean, I'd love it.
Well, sure.
Or, you know, Anthony Rendon, all that. I'd love it. I'd love it all. But there's no need for that right now because they're not 6 months away from winning. You know, it's not like, oh, they've got these guys coming in June. You know, Brady Singer and Jackson Torre are going to come up and they're going to complete this team in June. Well, no, that's no. They're going to help the team probably when they come up, hopefully. But they're not the last pieces. They're the first pieces. And so, and I shouldn't say the first pieces. You got Dozier and Merrifield and Soler and all that, but you know, they don't need to spend big right now to supplement a team that's on the cusp. They're a team that's on the cusp of being on the cusp.
Right.
And that's okay. That's where they are right now. That's the reality of it. So nothing we can do about that. So it's a perfect situation because he can come in, not have to say, okay, I'm going to trust this guy who I believe in. I think he believes in Dayton Moore, but also we don't know if he's going to keep Dayton Moore around. And You don't have to outlay that money in a season where it's not going to matter. And so I think that makes perfect sense. The issue that I'll have with John Sherman, if the time comes, is if the Royals are close to competing and he is not willing to open the checkbook, then we got problems. But I don't foresee that to be an issue. And until that is an issue, there's not really anything worth complaining about on that front, I don't think.
Yeah, that 100% agree with you. It's best to wait and see and kind of get the lay of the land. And John Sherman, by all accounts, I've read stories that he's into analytics books about baseball, mm-hmm. and he's a sharp guy. I mean, billionaires are sharp people by nature, but probably a person that would like to get in and observe for a season, kind of the inner workings of the organization, and then kind of make some decisions about what to do with the team moving forward.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, I don't think any smart businessman comes into an organization and says, I don't know how I'll work with you, but I'm going to give you a 4-year deal.
I mean, right.
There's no reason to do that, especially because, look, if he likes Dayton Moore, he'll keep Dayton Moore. If he doesn't like Dayton Moore, he won't keep Dayton Moore. It's as simple as that. I mean, there's no reason right now to give him an extra 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it is. I know that it's a little bit different situation because he's probably interacted with Dayton Moore. I mean, he was Royal season ticket holder. I don't know if he still was. I assume he wasn't as owner of the Indians, or part owner of the Indians. But, I mean, he's a rich guy who owned season tickets for the first, 9 years of Dayton Moore's mm-hmm. tenure. So, I mean, I think it's certainly feasible to think that he does have some interaction with Dayton Moore and knows the guy. So it's not entirely coming into a new situation, but you know, I don't think it benefits anybody to just come in and make decisions without actually having seen it firsthand. And so I don't think he will. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be off here, but I just can't imagine that being the case.
Well, to use, again, I'm going to use another Sporting KC example. When Cliff Illig and the late Neil Patterson bought the team from Lamar Hunt, they came straight out, and I know guys who were playing on the team at the time, and they walked into the locker room and said, look, we don't know a lot about soccer, but we're going to make this a great organization. We're going to build a stadium. Now, that took a long time to get done because Missouri couldn't get off the pot on that. But they got that done. They stuck with a coach for a while, and then when he was fired, Peter Vermes was the interim. And then Peter Vermes was made the head coach and the technical director. He's been there for almost, 10 full years now.
Has it been 10 years?
It might be 8, 9, 10 years.
Wow.
Peter, I'm sorry. I don't know exactly when you started. But but they kind of step back and say, okay, here's Peter Vermes. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to hire assistants. He knows how to hire scouts. We'll give him the tools to be successful, and then we'll keep slowly building and building and building. And now they have more scouts than maybe anybody in Major League Baseball. But I can totally see John Sherman being like that with the Royals. Okay, let's kind of see what we have here. And then, you know, in a year, we'll look at it all again.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a smart play. And if in that time he says, look, I want to keep Dayton Moore around for as long as Dayton Moore wants to stay, then so be it. He's made that decision. Dayton Moore is not my favorite general manager, as most people probably know. And, you know, I think there's a lot of pluses to Dayton Moore. I think there's a lot of minuses to Dayton Moore. But, you know, whatever John Sherman decides, it's his team. He gets to make that decision, and I think he will in time. I just don't think it's going to be a rash decision, which I think lends itself to not necessarily having a very busy offseason. I mean, I think it's going to be kind of the same offseason it would have been had David Glass still been the owner, which is finding a reclamation project, looking for value, and, you know, kind of still playing that wait-and-see game. I think the plan always was to start the spending at the earliest after 2020 and probably more like after 2021. And I don't think a whole lot has changed on that front because the makeup of the organization hasn't changed. It's not like – not only added an influx of talent in a random way that's ready to go next season. So I don't think a lot is going to be different from the plan that was already in place.
We're speaking with David Leske from Baseball Prospectus and Royals Review. John Sherman will have an introductory press conference this week on Tuesday as new owner of the Kansas City Royals. He just gave a quick statement at the owners' meetings last week. He didn't take any questions because he's a quiet guy. He doesn't want any publicity. That's fine. So, David, one of the other parts of this, we talked about the things that are going to be asked on Tuesday. Who are the minority partners in the ownership group? How much money are you going to spend on payroll? That's big. And the other one, you know this is coming, okay, because the talk is already starting. Do you want to move the team to downtown and build a new stadium, or do you want to stick at the Truman Sports Complex and continue to make upgrades when necessary? You know that's coming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's maybe the biggest question of his ownership. Not, you know, on a day-to-day level, obviously the talk is how much money you're going to spend on the team. But the biggest, I think John Sherman's ownership will be defined by what stadium they play in when he sells the team. And, you know, he's, what is he, 60? Something like that?
He's not that old.
Yeah, I mean, he's got some time. And you know, it's going to be a little while, but that's the biggest question. And you know, there are positives and negatives to downtown. There are positives and negatives to staying where they are. And I think that this is going to be probably, like I said, the biggest point of his ownership. And when it's all said and done, that's the legacy, is where they're playing when he sells that team. And I don't know the answers. I don't know if they're going to look downtown. I mean, I'm sure they're definitely going to look downtown. I mean, you're always smart to look at other options. But, you know, ultimately it might come down to finding a way to build around the Truman Sports Complex and to build, you know, you kind of look at what like the Braves did in Cobb County, and they built like an entertainment district around that stadium. I know there are hurdles to that. And
the parking there is a disaster. We went to a game last year down there, and I love the stadium. It's fantastic. But trying to park around Atlanta's baseball stadium is just disaster.
Oh, it's brutal, and you know you wouldn't have that issue at Truman Sports Complex.
Right.
And that's the positive. The big positive is it's pretty easy to get to. Yeah, it's kind of far away for some people, but it's pretty easy. Parking's always there. You can tailgate, all that. But at the same time, it's not in the center of the city, and it's not the cool new stadium and all that. And so, I mean, there are a lot of things to consider there. And ultimately, the stadium is John Sherman's legacy. It could have been David Glass's legacy. It wasn't. It's fine. But ultimately, this is John Sherman's legacy because, you know, now, what is it? It'll be a 50-year-old stadium in 4 seasons.
Uh-huh.
That's crazy to think about. 50 years old.
Well, Atlanta tore down their Turner Field after only 20 years, and the Rangers tore down their stadium after 20 years.
I mean, don't even get me started on the public funding right. for all that. It's ridiculous. But, the decision needs to be made because the renovations now are 12 years old. I think it was 2008, wasn't it? Maybe
that sounds about right, yeah.
Whatever it was, the renovations are more than a decade old now. And by the time the lease is up, the renovations will be 20 years old. And, you know, there's only so many years that a stadium can take before it needs to either be demolished or renovated. And we're coming up on, by the time this lease is over at the Truman Sports Complex, we're coming up on that's the time that we need to make a decision whether it needs to be is a facelift or a new place.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think John Sherman probably has an idea of what he wants to do, but I don't know if he knows what's the best thing to do because it's all about how much money they can make. It's a business.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
If they can make more money staying at Truman Sports Complex, they will stay at Truman Sports Complex. If they can make more money moving downtown or somewhere similar to downtown, they'll move. It's as simple as that. And the studies are being done right now. They don't have an answer yet, but I imagine John Sherman has an idea of what he wants. I would not be surprised. I don't know the guy, but I would not be surprised if he wants a downtown stadium. So, you know, they might make a study work in that regard. But it's one of those things. We'll find out, and probably pretty quickly, because what is the lease up? 2028, 2029, something like that?
Yeah, it's either that or 2030, 2031.
Yeah,
it's right in there.
They've got about a decade.
Mm-hmm.
But stadiums take a long time to build, and if you're going to move out of a lease, you're probably going to do it a couple years before because there's usually out clauses in those leases. You know, we'll probably know. I know it seems like a long time now, but in the grand scheme, it's not. In two, three, four years, something like that, we'll probably have an idea of where the Royals are going to play in 2030. And you know, it wouldn't surprise me if it's downtown, but he's definitely going to get that question asked to him on Tuesday. I don't know if he'll have an answer. I'm sure he'll have a good response. I don't know if he'll have an answer.
Right.
But that's one of his defining moments, I think.
There's some political action group in town that's already running radio spots and say, oh, downtown baseball, there's going to take taxpayer money away. I'm like, guys, we're not even there yet. You can save
it. Yeah, it might.
I know, but you can save the money on the advertising or the messaging until it actually gets there. Hey, David, final thing for you before I let you go. Thanksgiving coming up, and I brought this up with Nick Jacobs. Remember Alex Smith when he was in Kansas City a few years ago was asked about, what do you like about Thanksgiving? And he said, well, turkey jumps out. And it's just one of those things that was so dry, it was so funny.
It was perfect.
It was perfect. So for you, the Lesky household... what's the big item on the table for you? What do you got to have?
Oh man! So well, honestly, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday because I enjoy eating. It's one of my favorite things to do. But you know, for me, it's all about the sides. My mom, I'm guessing is listening, makes these Brussels sprouts with hazelnuts in them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, they are so good. They honestly, I could eat those literally every day. And I don't think they're quite as good as for you as it sounds as Brussels sprouts. So I probably shouldn't eat them every day. But my God, those are delicious. But really, put food in front of me on Thanksgiving, and I'm probably going to like it. I think this year my in-laws are doing prime rib, which I'm very excited about.
Oh, boy.
I do two Thanksgiving. So,
do I. I have two.
It's wonderful and terrible the next day. But wonderful on Thanksgiving. And yeah, I'm just ready to eat. I'm gonna get the stretchy pants on and go to town basically.
Well, to me, I judge, and like you, I'll have two Thanksgivings, one on Thursday, one on Saturday, and I'll kind of judge a spread by the quality of your dinner rolls, because I'm a big dinner roll bread guy.
Yeah.
If you don't have very good dinner rolls, it ain't happening. Sorry.
The bread, look, the sweet potatoes, the mashed potatoes if you've got them. I'm on a potato kick now. Like, literally, I can't think of a Thanksgiving side that I won't eat too much of.
Well, enjoy it, because you'll have plenty of it this week, David.
Oh, yes, and for days after.
Yep, absolutely. All right, well, we'll look forward to Tuesday's press conference to introduce Royals new owner John Sherman. Hopefully he gets into a few of the details, who's part of the group, what he might spend, if he's thinking about downtown baseball. I don't know, because from what I understand, he doesn't talk a lot, but hopefully we'll find out something on Tuesday.
Yep, hopefully so, and then we'll have some actual answers instead of getting to speculate.
Yes, absolutely. All right, hey, David Leske, thank you very much. I appreciate your time as always.
Absolutely. Thanks, Brad.
All right, that is David Leske from Baseball Prospectus and Royals Review. You follow him on Twitter, at DB Leske. That's DBLESKY. Always got good stuff about the Royals, and we'll look forward to John Sherman's press conference Tuesday. And since I'm filling in for Soren Petro that day, we will be talking about it extensively. So we got a lot of stuff on the agenda for next week. Raider Week, Royals ownership change, all kinds of stuff. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll hit the final 30 minutes of our show today. You are listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I know this song was overplayed when it first came out. I still like it, though. Even though his career flips every 3 to 4 years to something you were not expecting. And that's why he's such a damn good entertainer. I don't care what you think of him personally. He's always got something to flip a switch and make you think about something else. I haven't heard anything off the new album. It's supposed to be, religion-oriented? So, I don't know. Back on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest, we just have our final 30 minutes, and then we'll hand it off to the NFL Today on ESPN at 11 o'clock, and then we've got the NFL all day long. At noon, Panthers and Saints. At 3 o'clock, Jaguars and Titans. At 7 o'clock, Packers and 49ers, all right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I was just looking, since we've been having all this Thanksgiving talk, Joshua, and did I introduce you coming back from the break? Joshua Byers is running the show. I was thinking, we had all this Thanksgiving talk with Nick Jacobs and then with David Leske. Is the Thanksgiving week for you a time to hit the movie theater, like a lot of people and families?
That's pretty smart.
Yeah.
I can't think of any good movies out right now, unless I'm...
I was going to go down a list and see if there was any that caught your... That caught your fancy. So... My friends who, growing up in the neighborhood where I grew up, they lived down the street, and their family would have us over for Thanksgiving, and then we'd go to a movie on Thanksgiving, and I always had a blast. So movies out right now you can choose from. Ford versus Ferrari, Matt Damon and Christian Bale.
Good duo, but I've heard nothing about it.
Okay. The reviews I've read say it's pretty great.
Great actors. Yeah, I like both of those guys.
Sure. And it's an action movie. I'm down with that. It was number one at the box office again this week. Midway, it's that World War II movie. The effects that I've seen in the promos just look terrific. I haven't gotten any feedback on that one yet. You know what? I forgot to ask Nick Jacobs. He's a big movie buff. I could ask him about some of these movies. So Midway, World War II kind of thing. I wouldn't mind seeing that. The story of the weekend is a movie that's currently bombing, Charlie's Angels.
I did see the preview for that.
Yeah?
It's interesting.
Well, see, I was a fan of the Lucy Liu and Cameron Diaz era when they did two films.
Yeah.
I was a fan of those. I thought they were fun.
They're fantastic.
And they kick some ass, too. Lucy Liu can kick some ass in movies. But now they've redone it with...
Kristen Stewart, who to me doesn't come off as all that likable ever and when she does interviews, but whatever, okay.
She's known to me as the girl on Twilight.
Yes, that's if you can't remember who Kristen Stewart is, she was on Twilight. Naomi Scott, who I don't know that well, and Elizabeth Banks, who, of course, was in
You're on your own there, Brad.
Help me out. The Jennifer Lawrence movies. Oh, God. I just watched one the other day. Area 12. That's not the name of the movie, but... Oh, God. You're going to have to bail me out, so I don't look totally horrible on that one. So Charlie's Angels has come out and completely bombed. 8.2 million. Only made 3.1 million the first night.
The Hunger Games.
Hunger Games! Thank my God, I just watched that the other night. So Elizabeth Banks is the one who prepares Jennifer Lawrence and the other actor to get ready for the games and gets them dressed up so they can get money and that sort of thing. So she's really pissed off that people are not going to see her movie. The way I look at it is, okay, we had the TV show in the 70s and 80s when I was a kid, okay? We had the two movies that we did with Cameron Diaz and Lucy Liu, which were good, really good. I like those. That was 10 years ago. Bringing it back again?
Too soon?
Too soon. Well, I did, maybe too far away. And Elizabeth Banks' complaint is, well, they've made 47 Spider-Man movies. Why can't we have our own franchise? I don't think it's the same. I just don't. First, if it's not a good movie, it's not a good movie. People aren't inspired to go. Just like the latest Terminator. Did they really need to make another Terminator at this point? No, that's kind of bombing at the box office. So no on Terminator, no on Charlie's Angels. Yes on Ford versus Ferrari. Yes on Midway. How about, let's see, Dr. Sleep, which is kind of the comeback of The Shining, which was made 30-something years ago. I'm not really sure why that movie had to be made.
It's a no for me.
The Shining was something by itself. You're not going to improve on Jack Nicholson and Shelley Duvall in The Shining. You're just not. I don't care what special effects you have. I don't care what modern actor you have. It's not going to be the same. So people are staying away. They're not watching it. I still haven't seen The Joker.
Me either, you know, so we're in that same boat. And they're already making a sequel.
I saw that. Making another one. Okay. I do like the memes that people make of people dancing down the staircase.
Yeah, I don't understand them because I haven't seen the movie.
But I think they're funny as hell. And I saw a video posted the other day. The people who actually live in that neighborhood are getting sick of tourists coming through there and trying to do the dance down the staircase. And now that some people are throwing stuff at these tourists and screaming at them because it's their neighborhood. But I'm sorry, if you've got a landmark that was in a famous movie, people are going to do that. They just are. It's like the Rocky statue in Philadelphia. Now, that statue wasn't in the movie. That scene was in the movie, but everybody who goes to Philadelphia runs up those stairs and then gets to the top and throws their hands up in the air.
Yeah, statue's at the bottom now.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to wait in line to get a picture, but definitely worth it.
I was telling, I was getting my hair cut yesterday, and I was telling the person who cuts my hair, she's going to San Diego for Thanksgiving. And I said, she's been there before, but I said, well, here's a couple of things to kind of look at. And I said, if you're any fan of the movie Top Gun, the bar where they shot the scenes were at the beginning and the end with Tom Cruise and Kelly McGillis, and he's sitting there drinking an ice water and that sort of thing. The bar that was shot in is in San Diego. And I think it still has the same posters that were on the wall. One says Kansas City, because I think they serve Kansas City barbecue there. They openly say, come on in. Yeah, it's the Top Gun bar. Come on in. Let's go. That's going to happen. So there's a few movies might be looking at during Thanksgiving week. Ford versus Ferrari. When I first saw the first promo, I was like, I don't know. Christian Bale wears me out. And Matt Damon. I like Matt Damon a lot. Christian Bale wears me out, especially since he's a class A jerk, from what I understand. You know, for my people in the movie business, you know, he had that famous audio come out a few years ago where he's just screaming at somebody. And He's a method actor. He takes everything way serious, which he should. That's your job. Your job is to take it seriously and put out a good movie that people will pay good money to see. That's his job. I'm just saying, he a little prickly if you interrupt his mojo, his flow. But now that I've seen the promo a few more times and I've seen some longer ones, it really looks good. And I know I was listening to an interview, maybe it was a podcast the other night, about that movie. And Matt Damon and Christian Bale wanted to do as many of the stunts as they could and driving the race cars and all that. Well, movie contracts have things specifically saying what you can and cannot do. And so I guess for some of the scenes where they let them drive, they had to put a what they call a governor on the car that prevents you from driving over a certain speed. And I believe they agreed to let them drive if they did not go over 35 miles an hour. I mean, the way movies are shot, you can make a car going 35 look like it's going 120 if you want. I just thought that was interesting that they were not allowed to drive over 35 miles an hour. The other scenes where they needed them to be in the car, they would put like the body of the car on the bed of a truck and then put the cameras all around it. So it looks like Matt Damon's in a car, but he's actually just in the shell of a car sitting on a flatbed semi-truck. Just interesting. There's your movie talk. You got it. You got Thanksgiving week. You got all kinds of movies you can go see if you want. And don't listen to me about it. If you want to go see something, Charlie's Angels, it looks to me like a stinkeroo, but if you want to go see it, go see it. Sure, it's fine.
My great Thanksgiving tradition is watching the first NFL game, and then everyone is asleep during the second one.
Well, now you got three, right?
Triple header.
The Chiefs were the first team to get that third game. The Hunt family said it's not fair that the Cowboys and Lions always get a home game on Thanksgiving and get all the attention, all the ratings, all the interest. We need to make sure other teams get the chance. And so I was at the Chiefs' Thanksgiving night game. Boy, I'm going to forget who they were playing that night. But I was down there on the field, and that day, John Fogerty had played at halftime of, I believe it was the Detroit game. It was the Detroit game. Played at halftime, just a quick, probably a 10-minute set, 8-minute, hit like four or five of his big hits, you know, just sang like a verse from each. And then they put him and his family on a private jet in the band, and they flew him to Kansas City. And so they showed the video of him landing at the airport, and they put him in the, I don't know, his limousine or whatever it was, drove him to Arrowhead Stadium, and he did another halftime show on the same day. And I was down on the field. I had a field pass. I thought it was awesome. Thought it was awesome. And I'm a big John Fogerty fan. Big John Fogerty fan. But the fact that he did two halftime shows in the same day was just fantastic. So you can thank the Hunt family and for pushing for that and the other owners for letting him do it, because it's not fair just to have Dallas and Detroit get all the attention. On that note, we're going to pay attention to our sponsors as we take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will wrap up this show, get you ready for Raider Week. And you got a full day of football here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. This is Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show and saying it once again, you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Back for the final few minutes here on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810, WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. Coming up at 11, we're going to hand it off to ESPN's coverage of the NFL today. And then we've got three games for you today here on Sports Radio 810. At noon, Panthers and Saints. At 3 o'clock, Jaguars and Titans. At 7 o'clock, Packers and Niners. That will be big. Let me go back and let me throw out just a couple of other movies, Josh, and then we'll wrap up. I'm going to try to throw in some sports here at the end. But I had found a new list of movies that are either coming out or just out. Thankfully, my kids are old enough, I will never have to watch Frozen 2. I didn't have to watch Frozen 1, but it made almost $42 million this weekend. Tom Hanks, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, the Mr. Rogers story. We down with that one? You didn't grow up on Mr. Rogers, did you?
Nope. Right over my head, but
okay.
Love Tom Hanks.
Yeah. I loved Mr. Rogers when I was a kid and all the little characters in his little town, and I thought it was awesome. And the other actor who's in there with Tom Hanks is the actor,
the co-star of that FX series, The Americans, about the Russian spies, a couple that came to America and they were Russian spies. He's really good. So Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, definitely down for that. There was a couple of other ones that I had not, I had kind of forgotten about just because they've been out for a while, but I haven't seen them. I'm not down for The Lion King. Maybe when it comes out on cable or something. That thing's made almost $550 million.
I thought it was great.
You liked it?
I liked it.
I liked the original.
People didn't like the live action remake of it, I've heard that, but I enjoyed it.
Okay. I have not seen Toy Story 4. It's got it's over $430 million now. Here's my thing about the people who make the Toy Story movies. I hate you. Because I always cry at some point during the movie. I'm a grown man for crying out loud. The two worst ones were when Andy goes off to college and then he gives the neighbor girl his box of toys. Like, oh, God, jeez, no, no.
They'll get you.
Yeah. And the worst one was when the toys were riding down the belt of the incinerator. Because the angry bear had tossed him over the side.
Yeah, that guy was a jerk.
And they were about to go over the edge, and they joined hands together like, well, we're all going to go out together. And I was like, yeah, no, no, no. I would, if that would have happened in a different way, in the bad way, I would have gone up, I would have gotten out of my seat and stormed out of that theater. You got me. Yeah, you guys that make the Toy Story movies, you got me. Every time. Every time. So that might be on your list. I'm looking through a couple others, and now there's not really anything else other than the ones we talked about earlier. So this will be a busy week for everybody. I am going to be filling in for Seren from 2 to 6 on Tuesday on the program. So I'll be here with Curtis Seabolt and Jed Marshall. By the way, Jed called me yesterday, wanted to run down the schedule for Tuesday, who we were going to have on the show, if we needed to tape some stuff. What time do you think Jed Marshall called me?
On
Saturday. Saturday morning.
5:26 a.m.
No. Not that. I don't think Jed would do that to me. Called me at 7:30. And I said, Jed, I'm probably the one person you could call at 7:30 on a Saturday morning and get an answer from. Because I was up taking my sophomore to a speech and debate tournament in North Kansas City. So I'd been up for a couple hours and I was on the way back. So. We got a good show coming up Tuesday. Plus, Tuesday is the day the Royals are going to introduce John Sherman as their new owner. I was reading through his quotes from the owners' meetings, and he basically said like two sentences. Like, I thank David Glass, thank Cleveland for letting me be part of their organization. That was it. No questions.
Well, Kansas City's going to have a Shermanator on the Chiefs and a Shermanator on
Joshua.
The Royals.
Buyers, good call. Maybe, since John Sherman is a Kansas City guy and he lives here, maybe Anthony Sherman should get him a Sherman Chiefs jersey. A little cooperation between the two, and then maybe John Sherman can give the Shermanator a Royals jersey. A little exchange there at the Truman Complex. Maybe they meet in the middle at the parking lot or something.
Combine their Shermanator powers.
I like where this is going since we only have about 2.5 minutes left. I wish we could have gotten into this earlier because I didn't make the connection. Didn't even think about it. It would be hilarious if Anthony Sherman showed up at the press conference Tuesday. Like, I'm here. Did somebody need the Shermanator? No, it's a different Sherman there, Anthony. I'm sure he'll be getting ready for the Raiders. So we've got Raiders week coming up. Here's what's a little bit interesting to me because just kind of I think it's an age thing. So for me, growing up in my teenage years and college a little bit, the Chiefs and Raiders rivalry was off the charts. It was always Raider week. And Monday morning, kids would go to school or people would put on their Raider week T-shirts. Or they had ones that had colorful language about the Raiders on their T-shirts. But it was a whole thing. And Marty Schottenheimer would get up and he'd start spitting and the Raiders, and he'd get his players whipped into such a frenzy. It was like, oh my God, these guys are like
they've been let out of an asylum or something. And Marty just hated the Raiders. And he would always say, I'll tell you after I retire why I hate the Raiders so much. He never would. And Gunther Cunningham hated the Raiders. And it was always a big thing, the Raiders. We hate the Raiders. Raider Week, gotta kick their ass. I think in the last 10 years, the bloom has come off that a lot. Primarily, well, the Raiders have stunk. They're not helping things. The Chiefs went through a period of stinking with Todd Haley and Romeo Crennel and those sorts of things. But it might be back a little bit this week, because if the Chiefs don't win this game, you're talking seriously about not only not winning the division, about maybe getting left out of the playoffs. It's that big.
I'll be excited to, you know, hear everyone talk about the game this week and just, you know, talking about it in general, because it's going to be a good matchup. And I think we'll see if they take care of the Jets today.
Yep. I remember when Andy Reid, his first year as the head coach, when Raider Week came around, I raised my hand. I said, Coach, do you know much about the Raider Week? Are you into it? Like, yeah, I've heard about it. I know a little bit about it. But he wasn't really into it. And I don't think today's NFL, the players are all friends. They're all texting each other and calling each other all the time. And they hang around and work out in the offseason. There's not that built-in hatred like the old days. That's okay. It's Raider Week. It's Thanksgiving Week. It doesn't get much bigger than this. I want to thank our guests from today, Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News and the 4th & 1 podcast. Also, David Leske from Baseball Prospectus. I will be making an appearance tonight down at Channel 41 for Sunday Sound Off with Mick Schaefer. Thank you to Joshua Byers for running the show today. My name is Brad Porter. Have a great Sunday and enjoy Thanksgiving Week and Raider Week.